You're listening to Gameplay with Matthew Cause on TSN 1050. We're going all in on the coverage. You can bet on it.
Good afternoon, everyone, and yes, welcome to Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Cause, and I was hearing Al's brother, and I agree with him. I think you have to bet the Maple Leafs tonight. You got to give up a lot of the money line. It's minus 296 for Toronto. So, you know, maybe go grab the puck line. So, you know, they win by two goals and then it's only minus 123. But, you know, Edmonton, 4-1 loss to the Rangers, 2-8-2 in their last 12. And Toronto, and again, this is, I just saw the stat, and this is a cherry pick stat. You can use any stat just to fit whatever narrative you're trying to do. But from near the end of October, October 27th to right now, Toronto has the best winning percentage in the NHL at 813. So I think a lot of people should be all over that. The Raptors, 500 again, beating up on the Spurs, 129-104. They got a game tonight against Milwaukee. And this is going to really give us a good idea of where the Raptors are. I call it a take-the-temperature game. It's not a measuring stick, game. It's just a, hey, how you feeling? You know, let's get the old thermometer out, and no, not there. We can put it in your mouth. It's fine. Pull up your pants. But you got a Milwaukee team that's angry. They lost a couple days ago to the Pistons. I don't know how you do that. And the team will be fully healthy, and they should. There's no reason why you won't see Holiday and Middleton and Giannis. So a great test tonight for our Raptors team that's playing some good basketball, and it's fun. Isn't it fun seeing everyone out there? And as for Fred VanVleet, there's one stat above all others. If you want to try to get Fred into the All-Star game, maybe the team just has to, you know, be several games over 500. But the Raptors are outscoring opponents by 5.9 points per 100 possession when VanVleet's on the court. When he's off the court, they're getting outscored by 14.6. So the net difference is 20.5 between when he's on the court and when he's not on the court. Basically, that stat tells you just how important is one player to a team. There's only one player in the entire NBA with a greater difference than that. And it's Jokic, you know, the guy who was the MVP of the NBA last year. I say good afternoon to producer Conrad. Conrad, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, Matthew. How about yourself? You seemed like you were having a good time last night before we head into another lockdown.
Yes. I was out. Decided to go out and support a couple local establishments before everything got shut down. So it's funny, like, I got all these things done in the last little while. Like, when I got my hair cut, I got it super short. Went to see Spider-Man on Monday, went out to two different restaurants yesterday, and in between all of that, I got my booster shot. So it's funny for people, you know, I bet there's people listening, going, oh, God, look at you going out. You're being irresponsible. Oh, but you also got your booster shot. Now I'm confused. What are you? Are you Aaron Rodgers and Djokovic, or are you this, or are you that? And, you know, I just try to be hard to nail down. So, yes, no. I'm doing very well. It's a packed show today. It's going to be a fun show, and I want to start with a philosophical question for you all, which is the subject of today's opening thought.
Time now for Matt's opening thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
And here we go.
I mean, it's really nothing more than a self-absorbed monologue, a chance for Matt to rant about something and pretend he's a serious radio personality instead of a gas bag. Let's face it, he stole this idea from Dennis Miller.
Now, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
What do you think is harder to be? A Leafs fan or an Oilers fan? They play tonight. And is the obvious answer it's tougher being a Leafs fan because Edmonton, they won a Stanley Cup back in 1990. And, you know, I know the last time the Leafs won was black and white TV and the league was made up of just six teams. You've all these recent playoff collapses, bad GMs, bad drafts, bad coaches. the final days of Phil Kessel. And by the way, at this point, I'm just kind of playing the hits, aren't I? You know the record. You know the low moments. You've lived through it for years and years and years and years. And you could say, hey, at least Connor McDavid was part of at least one playoff series win back in 2017. Edmonton beat the San Jose Sharks in six. So it's an open and shut case, right? It's far tougher to be a Leafs fan than an Oilers fan, right? Maybe. Then it gets the philosophical question of how long can you live off of memories? It's been over three decades since Messier lifted that Stanley Cup as Edmonton defeated the Boston Bruins. If we're talking about the present and the future, I mean, you can easily argue the Leafs are in a better spot. There's no argument about the present. You know, the future, always a little bit murky. At the end of November, Edmonton was 15-5. Power play was dummying the league. And they were getting good goaltending. Now, not so much. I'm watching Darren Dreger talk about Dave Tippett's tenure with the team. And is it going to be coming to an end? You know things are bad for your team when everyone is wondering if the coach is about to get fired. And there's chaos all over, isn't there, in Edmonton? Now you got Koskinen coming out and saying, hey, yeah, I know I allowed four goals, but my team isn't scoring. Oh, that's a good way of doing it. That's a good thing to do. Defending yourself by ripping all your forwards. Fantastic move by the Edmonton goalie. I think it's fair to say that you would give the advantage to the Maple Leafs when it comes to management. Leafs lose Zach Hyman, signed that long-term deal, $5.5 million. But they replaced him, Bunting, Kasha, Kempf. Those guys are all scoring. Those guys are all contributing. You know, those guys make a couple million less than Hyman. It's nothing against Hyman. He's having a good year. But Leafs management found a way around the loss of Zach Hyman. And if you go look at Edmonton and a lot of the players they brought, you know, those million-dollar or less players, their version of the Michael Buntings, well, they're not doing very well. Then with Edmonton, we knew there'd be a drop-off in production when your top two players are McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. It's going to happen. You've got two of the top five, six players in the entire NHL. But damn, when you go from 53 and 52 points, and the next highest total is half of that with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins at 26, Puljujärvi at 23. You're like, oh boy, I know the Leafs are top-heavy, but Edmonton's like, hold my beer. And then there's Koskinen, 38th in goals against, 39th in save percentage. The other goalies are Mike Smith, who's going to be 40, and Stuart Skinner, who's got 10 career starts. Then you look at the minutes. Darnell Nurse, second among all defensemen. Draisaitl first among all forwards. Connor McDavid second in minutes among all forwards. Hopkins 14th. You got to wonder, hey, you know, the guys start to wear down and then, well, here comes the losing, especially with a compressed schedule. So if you focus on the past, being a Leafs fan is a kabillion times harder than being a fan of the Edmonton Oilers. But if you put more stock in what is happening today and what is most likely to happen tomorrow, you could answer it's tougher being an Oilers fan. Again, Edmonton filled a lot of chaos. Toronto, everything's pretty chill. It used to be that way, but it is now. Testament to management, ownership, and the players. Of course, when the playoffs come, that's a totally other story. But anyway, in the end, where do you stand? Text us at 105050. Tweet me at mcause56. What is tougher, being an Edmonton fan or being a Leafs fan? And that is my opening thought.
I'm finished.
Like, what about you, Conrad? What do you think is more difficult of those two?
You know, it's a tough one. It's a tough one to break down, Matt. It's if you want to talk about long-term misery, then, you know, it's not even a debate. It's the Leafs. But
yes,
if you look around the sports world and you look at teams who have set the excellence standard, it's tough for them and their fans to deal with the mediocre after that. You know, the Yankees, the Patriots, the Pittsburgh Penguins, all these teams have had, you know, sustained excellence and success over time. And so when they regress back to the means, I think it's a lot tougher for their fans. Even you look at individuals like Tiger Woods, Roger Federer, when they aren't, you know, playing up to the excellence level that they have set for themselves, a lot of people look at it and they're like, what's wrong? What's going on? Well, you know, everything comes back to the means, right? Regression to the mean. So
yep.
It's tough. I, you know, long-term misery, I'm definitely going to say Leafs, but the debate is definitely there. The debate is definitely there to be had.
And it's all about, because like this question, it's partially a referendum on these teams, but the question is also just about how you, the sports fan, you know, how much do you focus on the past versus how much do you focus on the present and the future? Now, by the way, the poll, which I just put up, you know, the late morning, right now the Leafs are winning and they're dominating at 73%. Now, I wonder how much of that is just the people that I follow, the people that follow me. It's going to be a higher percentage of people that are from Southern Ontario, or at the very least are Toronto Maple Leaf fans. So maybe that's it as well. But text us at 10-50-50. You know, throw me a tweet, mcause56, because I'm curious about that. And, you know, obviously today's the day to sort of have that conversation as Toronto is taking on Edmonton. And by the way, there hasn't been any new news. As there, like I saw, Matthew's water bottle was set up for the morning skate. So is there anything I'm missing here, Conrad? Austin Matthews, do we have 100% confirmation that he is playing tonight, or is it still we're in wait-and-see mode?
Well, if he was at morning practice, then I'd have to assume that he's going to be a part of the Leafs lineup tonight. But
yeah,
who knows if one of these crazy rapid tests or PCR tests show up again. He did test negative on his PCR most recently, so I think that's valid enough for him to play tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was at morning skate, or at least his water bottle was there last time I heard. So I would assume that Matthews is in, and we know that McDavid is out.
Yeah, and just hearing from... like Kristen Shilton. Oh, I miss Kristen. We gotta get her on. Seriously, I mean, I know she's now, you know, working for ESPN, but I hear her on Leafs Lunch. Anyway, Austin Matthews says he plans to play tonight versus Edmonton. So that's coming from Shilton, coming directly from the mouth of Austin Matthews. So then he will not see Tavares as the first line center with Marner and Bunting. It'll be Bunting, Marner, and Matthews. Tavares with Nylander. And it looks like Ilya Mikheyev, who has moved up to the second unit. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. So it's full strength for the Maple Leafs. On the other side, no Connor McDavid. There's a couple other guys that could be out as well. But that is the big one, obviously, not having Connor McDavid in the lineup. Tyson Barry in protocol as well, according to Dave Tippett. By the way, before we go to break, Mikko Koskinen on critics from on the critics from Tippett, you know, saying it's not nice being thrown under the bus. I have to be better, but at the same time, we scored 7 goals in my 6 losses. I can't score goals. I feel like Mikko should have stopped it at it's not nice being thrown under the bus. I have to be better. Period. Like, if you had gone there, you would have been fine. Now, yes, the team hasn't scored any goals, but his goals against in those starts is goals against of 4, save percentage of .866. So both things are true. He's playing lousy, but the team isn't scoring. But what good does that do? What good does that do to bring up the fact that, hey, everyone else on the team, no one's doing their job as well? He's not wrong, but it doesn't need to be said. The same way Dave Tippett, you know, did or did not need to, you know, be critical of Koskinen to the media. You can do that thing privately. But I don't know about you, Conrad, but this team's an absolute mess right now.
Yeah, it's I would say it's slightly hypocritical of him for him to say, you know,
yeah,
it's not nice being thrown under the bus. But, you know, our offense isn't scoring any goals. So
yeah,
what is he doing there? Throwing his forwards and defensemen who can score goals. And hey, Mikko, last time I checked, goalies can score goals too. It's very rare, but goalies can score goals.
Yes, they can. It is very, very rare. But it does them no good at all. So I like the Leafs. I like the over at minus 120, over of six goals. And for Toronto, maybe taking on the puck line. So they got to win by two. That's at minus 123. So you bet $123 and you would win $100 as long as the Leafs win by more than one goal. On the other side, we'll get into the Toronto Raptors. There's some player prop bets there that I like. Also, the curious case of Kyrie. Kyrie Irving is supposed to make his debut tonight against Indiana. And while individually he puts up big numbers, how much does it actually benefit the team to have Kyrie on the floor? Some stats out there that are kind of eye-opening. We'll get into that in just a moment. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050. So tonight right here on TSN 1050, you can listen. It's the Raptors and Bucks, 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock tip-off. Jim Taddy, Nikki Reyes will get you through the game. And in terms of betting for this contest, Milwaukee is favored by 7.5. I would take Toronto there. I would take Toronto plus the 7.5 at minus 110. Now, the money line, Milwaukee at minus 340. I don't like, to me, there's no value there. Toronto plus 270. I'm nervous about it only because, let's face it, Milwaukee, an elite team. Milwaukee lost to Detroit, and it's back-to-back for the Raptors. So I'm going to want that 7.5. I do like the over. Toronto has won 3 in a row outright. They've covered 4 straight. They are 8-1 against the spread in their last 9 games. And last night they beat the Spurs 129-104, and the offense looked great. Season-high 30 assists. Season best, match their season best for three-pointers made at 18. All 5 Raptors starters finished in double digits. You have guys like Precious Achiuwa off the bench also getting in double digits. And for Fred VanVleet, 33 points, 12 of 23 shooting in 32 minutes. 7 assists. No one played heavy minutes. That's a bit of a benefit for Toronto tonight. Career high in assists for Scotty Barnes at 8. Including that ridiculous no-look pass for an easy Chris Boucher dunk. Also finished 11 points and 9 rebounds in 33 minutes. And I do have some prop bets, but I think I will I'll save that for the next segment, as Wesley Chang from TSN Edge, who covers all things NBA, Raptors and betting, he will join the show. Maybe the more interesting story is that tonight Kyrie Irving is going to be making his debut against Indiana. And as everyone knows, he's not vaccinated. There's still some places he can't play. And I should check on this. I can't even play at home. And the only reason I'm asking like this is the rules change all the time. The amount of time you have to be in isolation has been reduced, and so it's always a moving target. But the interesting thing is Kyrie puts up great numbers, but his teams don't usually win because of it. Not that they lose, but okay, in 127 games with Boston, the Celtics had a winning percentage of .614 when he played. When he didn't play, their winning percentage was .702. Now that's in 29 games, so it's not a giant sample size, but it's not a tiny one as well. Then you go to 2019 and 20. Kyrie played in 20 games for the Nets. They were 8-12 during that time. Yet the team was 27-25 without him. So a 40% winning percentage with him on the court and over 50% when he was off. Last season with the Nets, Kyrie played in 54 games. Team was 36-18 in those games. But they were 12-6 without him. So the winning percentage was basically the same. It's a weird thing about this guy. Boston was better without him. The Nets, when it was Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert, in the bubble year and everything like that, they were a better team without him. I have no way to explain this. I mean, it's bizarre. when you consider the talent. One little prop bet I will give out is in that game, and again, make sure that Kyrie is indeed playing. But I'll take the under for Kevin Durant for scoring in that game. I feel pretty good about that. Durant under 27.5 at -125. Pacers aren't a very good team. Maybe limited minutes for Durant. They get up to a big score. Kyrie's there. He's going to take shots. And if you're Durant, actually, I haven't seen what the number is. I would take the over for assists for Kevin Durant, because I imagine his job is going to be, hey, let's feed Kyrie. Let's get him feeling good. Let's get him comfortable. And so I would take the over for assists from Kevin Durant, and I would take the under for points. So just a quick thought there. I do some thoughts on Scottie Barnes, on Siakam, on Giannis, and we'll get into that in the next segment. And I do wonder, will Fred VanVleet make the All-Star game? Let's put up big numbers. You know, 21 points per game, just under 7 assists, 5 rebounds, shooting 40% from deep on nearly 9 three-pointers a game. The only other player in the league shooting that amount of threes and hitting it at 40% or better, there's only one other guy, Steph Curry, Golden State Warriors. Maybe Fred should be an All-Star. Leads the NBA in loose balls, recovered on defense, second in deflections, near the tops in steals. And again, that one stat, only Jokic, I was thinking about the Aussie Open. Only Nikola Jokic has a higher net difference in terms of what his Denver Nuggets, how they are when he's on the court versus when he's on the bench. Second in the league is Fred VanVleet. Team scores 6 more points per 100 possession. Team gets outscored by more than 14 points with him off of it. Net difference 20.5. Second in the league. That is a big deal. Speaking of MVP, now we'll get into this debate a little later. Hub Arkish, NFL writer, says, nope, I'm not voting for Aaron Rodgers for MVP because of everything with the vaccine. And basically saying the guy's a jerk. Fair or foul? But on the other side, we look ahead, the Raptors, the Bucks. Wesley Chang from TSN Edge is going to join the show right here on Gameplay. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. Tonight, 7:30 pregame, it is the Raptors and Bucks. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050, tip-off just after 8 o'clock. Joining me now to talk all things Raps, NBA, futures, Kyrie. By the way, Klay Thompson, is he coming back on Sunday? It is Wesley Chang from TSN Edge. Wesley, thanks so much for joining the show today.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, 100%. Let's start with what's going on tonight. Raptors, 7.5-point underdog. It is back-to-back for them, taking on a Milwaukee team that's been off for the last couple days, and they can't be happy losing 115-106 to the Pistons. Giannis, Holiday, Middleton, they all played in that game against Detroit. I'm curious, in terms of betting, which way you're leaning on this game in terms of the total and the winner.
Well, I'm with you. You know, I know you said 7.5 earlier you would take the Raps, and I think
the market
is slightly lagging behind what's happening for the Raptors right now. I think with everyone getting back being healthy, you've seen it in the results so far. Raps fans are obviously watching. But, you know, 7.5, that's a lot of points for a team that's clearly on the up. And I think the Raptors are going to approach this game as a major litmus test. Yeah, they've won 3 in a row. That's great. But the opponents technically weren't ones that I think you'd be saying are championship-level contenders. Going into this game, I think they really want to see where they're at right now. I can't visualize this being a Bucks blowout with the way the Raptors are playing right now.
And that's kind of where I am as well. Okay, that's good. That makes me feel better. Yeah, I would take the Raptors 7.5. I'm avoiding all money lines. And you mentioned about the market lagging. I don't know if you've been able to see it, but I wonder if the market's going to lag on Raptor totals. Where, I mean, this is some next level analysis I'm about to give, but when all the players come back, they score more. Yeah, no, I mean, they had a career or a season high in assists, matched their high in three-pointers made in that win over the Spurs. And I wonder if the market's at all lagging on the totals for the Raptors.
That's funny you mentioned. I was literally just having this chat with my producer. So the Raptors hit the over 8 games in a row. Like, that's been since Sacramento on the 13th. They've hit 8 overs in a row. So the line set at 226 right now, like in 226.5 for the game tonight. That's the highest total the Raptors have had all season.
Really?
So, yeah, exactly. So I was thinking the same as you. It's like the Raps offense humming. Fred, he's playing super well. He can't miss. Milwaukee, they've also been on an over streak for the last 5 since Giannis has been back. So you think like, oh, okay, there's all this momentum. Both teams are scoring really well. 226. That's a lot. That's a lot of points.
That's
the most the Raptors have ever gotten to. So my suspicion on that end, the market, I feel, has caught up, giving the Raptors the highest game total that we've seen all season.
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would avoid that as well. I didn't know that was the high point of the season. But again, that makes sense. You know, you get Barnes back, or Anunoby, Siakam, everyone there, and also just the way Fred VanVleet is playing. All right, I wanted to go over a couple prop bets with you in the game tonight.
Let's do it.
Scotty Barnes over 3.5 assists at +150. He had a career high last night. I mean, that no look pass to Boucher on the dunk. While, you know, we can quibble with Barnes, I think people want to see him shooting the ball more, including his coach. The guy is, you know, just the basketball IQ is there. I like the over.
Yeah, I think a lot of things have to work out for that to hit. I mean, there are a lot more mouths to feed, which is a good thing for him to hit that over. But at the same time, I'm really paying attention to what his usage rate is looking like with everyone back in the fold. Because technically speaking, the Raps don't have to rely on him the same way they did during the stretch of injuries. Like, his minutes are down. Like, that's the main thing to observe now that everyone's back. So I like the idea that you're thinking with the over. Like, if I had to take one or the other, I wouldn't do points. I would take the assist as well. But you got to pay attention to the fact that his minutes are down. They're way down from, you know, kind of the meat of December, November. So Barnes is one of those lines, like, I stay away from. I'd rather look at a guy like Fred. Like Fred, you know, I know you were mentioning it earlier. Like, Fred, all-star, you know, all this all-star energy, you know, looking like he's red hot. He's been the number one player in fantasy, by the way, over the last 5 games. Like, since...
Really?
The number one. Since, I think, December, it was like 18th, like the last 5 games he's played in that stretch, number one player in the whole league. I mean, and you cited it earlier, too. Look at his shooting. He's 30 for 64 from three-point range during that stretch.
Yeah.
That's 47% from three.
Yeah, and that number will probably, you know, obviously that number eventually will go down a bit, but unlike, you know, earlier in the year when he doesn't have as many teammates around him, you know, teams can't focus defensively on him as much. Okay, so Scotty Barnes, the over for the assist, you're a little wary of, but we're in agreement. If you're going to bet on Scotty, take assists, don't do points. How about Siakam? He's at 4.5 assists. We've seen what he's done the last 3 games. He's had like 21, 22. Thoughts on that? That's at +115 for over 4.5 assists.
I mean, just like the Barnes number, I like the value you're getting on both of those props. Like, those are good numbers. I think I have the same concern here. I haven't seen enough. Like, I just haven't seen enough in terms of the role that these guys are all going to have over these first 3-4 games that they're all playing together. I think if I had to pick Siakam versus Barnes, I like the Siakam over on the 4.5 for the assist total. The way I looked at it is, like, Siakam has been such an important piece for Fred. So since, since he's came back, he's obviously been in the fold. But with OG out, Barnes missed quite a few games. Like, Fred had to take on so much of the playmaking load for the entire team. Siakam's really, really doing a good job taking that pressure off of Fred so he can play off ball more. So I same thing, the logic, I like where you're thinking in terms of the assist. The other ones I'd say is, like, look at his rebounding prop. You know, there's definitely some momentum there, right? He had that 19 rebound game just the other day. I think if I had to pick out of points, rebounds and assists, I'd actually say rebounds are the one that I would target the most if I had to do something specific for Siakam.
And last one, Giannis. Points, rebounds, it's a high number, 40 and a half, and it's at minus 120. I just think he's rested and angry. So I'm kind of, that is the last one that I wanted to bring up about this game.
Yeah, Giannis, man, I think you've seen all this over momentum, right, from both the Raptors and the Bucks. I think it leads to a line like that going over. The one thing I point out on the other side of it is the Bucks are just missing a lot of shooters. So I don't know how that's going to work out for them offensively tonight, whether or not it's going to give the Raps more of a chance to collapse on Giannis. Is he going to have less assists this game? I'm still not too sure. But, yeah, Giannis, man, he's a big reason why they've been hitting the over so much these last five games. So that's definitely one to take if you're going to go. Might as well do Giannis.
Yeah, just, again, the team's anger. I mean, I can't believe they lost to the Pistons. Some of the other news going on. Kyrie coming back tonight for the Nets against Indiana. I'm wondering, on your end, from either a betting perspective, futures perspective, or a fantasy perspective, your thoughts on Kyrie, or is this a case of just a guy you got to avoid because no one knows what his availability is going to be?
Yeah, I call this conservative betting, but I would just stay away. I just want to see. There's just so much ambiguity going into this first game. I kind of want to see what he's going to look like. You know, you mentioned it earlier saying how Kevin Durant, his assist prop is probably a good one to take for this game, and I totally like the logic there. I think the challenge for me is, you know, rust is rust. Game speed can never be replicated in practice. So it's going to be very interesting to see how efficient Kyrie is going to be with his shooting tonight. So, yeah, Kevin Durant, he can get him the ball as often as he can, set him up for whatever. But, you know, if Kyrie's rusty, it's just tough for both of them to hit those props.
Yeah, I think you're right about maybe the wait and see. But if he's looking good, Durant's smart. He knows, get this guy going. So you were listening to earlier. What do you make of the fact? Is it just some weird, like, what do you make of the fact that if you go back and look at a lot of Kyrie's career with Boston, with the Nets, that the team that he plays on has a better winning percentage when he's off, when he's injured, versus when he's playing? I don't know if it's still not a big enough sample size, but I saw those numbers, and I just found it weird considering the level of talent that he is.
Yeah, the Kyrie, to me, is like he's the blueprint for those type of players who are better playoff performers than regular season guys. I think him and LeBron share that same gene about like really picking it up when the games matter. So, yeah, I think during the regular season, he probably takes one too many possessions off on defense. Offensively, maybe he looks for a shot a little bit too much when it's not the best look. But when all the chips are on the table, like Kyrie is still that guy. So, like, you can say what you want about not liking everything off court about him and totally justified. But when he's on the court, he still is like one of the best players in the entire game.
Yep. No, he is. I mean, there's a reason why players always rave about him. Hey, Wesley, before I let you go, again, joined by Wesley Chang from TSN Edge, is there what's your favorite fantasy story right now?
It ties into some betting, too. I posted this earlier on Twitter. Did you know, fun fact? LeBron James is the number one player in fantasy at this point in the season right now.
Of course he is.
Yeah, you would think Jokic, crazy. You would think Curry, yeah. Maybe Durant, mm-hmm. Right? All like those have been all the guys at the top so far. Since AD's went down, LeBron James has kicked it into another level. He's got career highs in points, threes, free throw percentage, blocks. Like since the decision. So since he joined Miami, he's top notch in all those categories. And then LeBron, some books out there have him at +5,000 to win the MVP. I'm not telling anybody to do anything with that. I'm just saying +5,000 for a guy that we know is pretty much the GOAT of this era and maybe for all time. +5,000. That's pretty good value. That's pretty tasty for a guy who there is a narrative that could get him there, right, in his age 37 season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And especially, you know, if Davis is slow to come back. And it, I mean, just you get Lakers and you get LeBron. So you're going to get some bump. But then, yeah, one thing we all love, we love guy who carries injured team and gets them further than we expected. Plus 5,000. That is pretty tasty. Wesley, appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining the show today.
Hey, Matt, thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. We will chat soon. Check out his work at TSN Edge. It is Wesley Chang. On the other side, reports that the Mannings are going to get into NFL ownership. We'll get into that in just a moment. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050.